My guest this week welcomed both the Conservative and Labour Party's supportive soundings on targeting business rates as an area in desperate need of reform. However, he also argued that the corporation tax system is increasingly out of date, and that the Conservative Party's plan to postpone further cuts to corporation tax is misguided. And indeed, the Labour Party's pledge to reverse the cuts, both are ignoring research showing more than half the burden is borne by workers. Furthermore, my guest today argues that corporation tax remains an inefficient way to raise government revenue and has a negative impact on both investment and entrepreneurship. So the guest in question is Julian Jessop, the IEA's Economics Fellow. And I could think of no finer an economist to take me, Darren Grimes, Digital Manager at the IEA, through his thinking on why he believes both the Labour Party and Conservative proposals on corporation tax aren't right, if the aim is to boost both investment and entrepreneurship. Right, Julian, I wonder if you could start by giving us a broader outline of what corporation tax actually is, because there seems to be a lot of confusion.
Okay, well, corporation tax is basically the income tax paid by companies, and they pay it on the profits that they make. The main rate of corporation tax was 28% in 2010 when the Tories first took power, and it's since been cut in stages to 19%, which is where it is now. The government had planned to reduce that rate further from 19% to 17% from April next year. But the announcement we had from Boris Johnson recently was that decision to cut the rate is being postponed. So it's not necessarily ruled out cutting the rate further at some point, but it's not going to happen as soon as next year.
What do you reckon of that? What do you make of that decision?
Well, I think it's more about politics than economics, frankly. The
additional
the rate of corporation tax probably wouldn't raise more than, say, £6 billion a year. I suspect it would actually be less than that when you consider the second round effects on the economy. And also, it's only a decision to postpone rather than cancel the reduction. So it's not really a game changer in itself for the public finances. And I think it's interesting that the CBI audience itself that Boris Johnson was talking to seemed fairly sanguine about the decision. Instead, I think it's clearly more about politics. I mean, the idea is to emphasise that the government is focusing on the people's priorities as it sees them and funding the NHS in particular. So as a piece of politics, I think it probably just about makes sense. The difficulty, of course, is that it's relatively easy for Labour to criticise. It could be seen as Labour light, an admission that the past strategy of cutting corporation tax was actually a mistake, and maybe giving an open goal for Labour to come in and say, well, if you don't think it's right to cut corporation tax, maybe you should be thinking about raising it.
And then speaking about the Labour Party, what do you make of their plans to reverse the cuts to levels I think haven't been seen since 2011?
Well, that's the problem. I think there's a big difference between not implementing a planned cut in corporation tax. That, I think, isn't a U-turn. It's simply a pause on the road, and hopefully corporation tax will still be cut in due course. And what Labour is proposing, which is actually to reverse the bulk of the cuts that we've had so far, to take corporation tax back to 26%. So, as you say, only a couple of percentage points lower than when the Conservatives took over. Mm-hmm. I think that is risky. It would mean that we'd then be paying one of the higher rates of corporation tax amongst our competitors rather than essentially the lowest. I don't think that sends a great signal to businesses looking to invest in the UK, particularly when businesses and investors generally might be a bit nervous about some of the other things that Labour are planning to do, for example, in terms of property rights and an increased role for the state in setting wages, prices and rents, the renationalisation programme and so on. So I think this is a particularly bad time to be talking about raising corporation tax. Equally, to some extent, I think it's a bad timing to be talking about not cutting it, because Brexit uncertainty has definitely held back investment over the last few years. I think it would have been a good idea for the government to continue with the plan of cutting corporation tax next year as a signal that the UK is very much open for business.
But isn't the UK corporation tax rate already relatively low?
That's true. So again, that's a good argument for saying that leaving it at 19% isn't a disaster. But I think bottom of the league is actually a pretty good place to be in terms of corporate tax rates. There's quite a bit of international evidence on this. There's been a downward trend in corporation tax rates, actually pretty much in all the major economies over the last 10 years or so. So, for example, the OECD has calculated that the average corporate tax rate has fallen from something like 28.6% in 2000 to just 21.4% last year. Interestingly, despite this, or maybe even perhaps because of it, the share of corporate tax in total tax revenues has actually increased slightly on average, and it's also held up well as a percentage of GDP. So there's some sort of international evidence, first of all, that the downward trend in corporation taxes is significant and I think likely to continue, but also that this hasn't done enormous amounts of damage to the revenues actually raised.
So, yeah, OK, so there might be evidence that there is a Laffer curve with when it comes to corporation tax then.
Well, I think that's right. I mean, funny enough, the Laffer curve has been in a lot of public conversations recently, so I think most people are familiar with what it means. But just to recap, it's the idea that if you raise tax rates beyond a certain level, you actually get negative returns because the increase in tax rates discourages activity, discourages investment and entrepreneurship and so on. And even if the tax rates go up, you actually therefore end up bringing in less money than you would otherwise have done. Now, to be clear, the Laffer curve only applies at a certain point, and it's very difficult to know at what point the revenue maximizing tax rate is. It's particularly hard to work out what it is in the case of the UK, because there have been a number of things happening over the last few years. It's absolutely true, of course, that the headline rate of corporation tax has been reduced at the same time as overall corporate tax revenues have increased. That at face value is evidence of a Laffer curve effect. But there have been two other things going on at the same time. One is that the economy itself has been recovering strongly, so you would have expected tax revenues to rise even if tax rates haven't been cut. But also the government's been quite sneaky. It's actually raised a number of other corporate tax rates in one way or another. So, for example, they've increased the bank surcharge. There have been increases in taxes on North Sea revenues. There have been restrictions in companies' abilities to offset past losses against profits. And the tax rate on new investment has effectively been increased too. So the various things the government has done that actually increase corporate taxes over this period. So it's difficult to relate the fall in the headline rate directly to the increase in revenues. That said, I think the onus or the burden of proof is very much on those people who suggest that big increases in tax rates would lead to big increases in tax revenues to prove their case, particularly when the evidence globally is that there's been a sharp downward trend in corporate tax rates, and yet revenues have held up pretty well.
If the government has managed to sort of raise corporation taxes in other ways, in sort of sneakier, more covert ways, isn't this the best way to ensure that businesses should pay their fair share of tax?
Well, I think even if you can't prove it for sure in the data, I think the arguments in favour of lower corporate taxes are extremely strong. I mean, there's the arguments about the impact on entrepreneurship and so on, I think are compelling. But it's also worth stepping back a bit and asking yourself what the purpose of all of this is. For a start, it's not companies themselves that ultimately bear the burden of taxation. They're basically just legal entities. They're abstract contract concepts. They're people getting together to form a business. Ultimately, all taxes are paid by people. If you raise corporation tax, it's possible some of that will be picked up by shareholders who might be richer on average than the rest of the population. So that might be a good sort of proportionate tax that targets the rich. But as you said in your introduction, actually the evidence is that the biggest single burden actually falls on employees of these firms, either in the form of lower wage increases or less employment than there would otherwise have been. Consumers often pay the price in the form of higher prices. If you raise taxes on companies, then they will pass it on to their customers. And the rest of us suffer more generally. There's a big investment problem in the UK. And I think, you know, corporation tax is part of the problem there. If you have high levels of corporation tax and in particular high marginal rates on investment, then that discourages investment, and that in turn is probably the one of the reasons why productivity performance in the UK has been so poor. There's another way of looking at this, of course, and saying, should we be viewing companies as cash cows or magic money trees? Now, ultimately, the business of a company is to make things, it's to make goods or to produce services that consumers want to buy. I don't think it's necessarily the job of companies to fund public services or infrastructure and so on. That ultimately is the role of people. Obviously, companies should pay for things that they use directly themselves. So, of course, they should be paying wages and so on. But also, there's a case of them paying things like business rates. If they're using local utilities directly, then that's fair to pay. But regarding them as basically cash cows that you can milk whenever they make big profits, I think isn't necessarily the right way of looking at them.
So do you think then this comes down to a PR problem? Because I think when you talk to the average voter that out there, that they actually, when they hear the word corporation tax, they think you're going after the likes of Apple, they think you're going after the likes of Amazon, when actually that's not the case, is it? You know, corporation tax is paid for by their employers, small to medium enterprises.
Well, I think it's another very good example of how, if you like, free market capitalism has an image problem. There are lots of, you know, myths that have been allowed to build. You know, for example, there's been a huge increase in inequality when all the data suggests that inequality has been flat or even falling. There are a lot of myths around the taxation of companies, particularly multinational companies, but, you know, particularly tech companies. A very common mistake that is made, for example, is to look at the sales that an online marketplace like Amazon might make in the UK, and compare that to the corporate tax bill that they have, which is basically apples and oranges. You know, you don't pay corporate tax on your sales; you pay them on your profits. And an online marketplace like Amazon actually isn't terribly profitable. You know, most of the profits that are being made are going to the people selling on the site, not to the site itself. But Amazon and the other tech giants are obviously easy and popular targets, partly because of the perception they're underpaying tax, but also because of, you know, other issues, talking about concerns about fake news, concerns about manipulation of elections, you know, concerns about the abuse of social media generally. So there are reasons why the tech companies are unpopular, but to the extent there are problems there, then the tax system is not the place to fix them. You know, the burden of tax should be kept as low as possible for companies of all types, because otherwise it's the rest of us who end up paying the price.
So as far as paying their fair share, then I go back to that catchy little soundbite that seems to pop up everywhere. But are the tech giants paying their fair share insofar as you accept the premise of there being a fair share?
Well, first of all, I mean, nobody is in favour of tax evasion or tax avoidance, whatever you like to call it. So there's no doubt at all that all companies should be expected to pay the bills that they are legally required to pay. You know, nobody would disagree that there's evidence of dodgy practices, you know, things like, you know, booking profits in the wrong country just because the tax rate there is lower. Then I think that's something we'd all want to stamp out. The hard evidence, though, this is happening is pretty thin. For example, there's some quite dodgy European Commission numbers going around suggesting that on average digital companies pay a significantly lower rate of tax than their traditional counterparts. But that's based on hypothetical business models rather than actual companies. And to the extent that there is a scope for digital companies to pay less tax than traditional companies, that's often for very good economic reasons. It might be, for example, it's cheaper to run an online site rather than have an expensive high street shop, and it's just simple economics. You may well end up paying less tax as a result of that. Another difference is that digital companies can often take more advantage of tax breaks that the governments themselves have introduced on things like research and development, or, you know, maybe their employee models allow them to make more use of employee share schemes that are treated quite favorably by the tax man. So to some extent, where digital companies are paying less tax, it's simply a reflection of economics or tax breaks that governments themselves have introduced. What concerns me is that in the attempt to try and correct that, then you end up layering a whole new set of complicated taxes on top of a a flawed system in the first place. I think, for example, the Conservative government's plans for a digital services tax to come into effect next year are, you know, frankly bonkers. It's a rather desperate attempt to justify a turnover tax, which we know is pretty bad for you know, everybody involved. It's particularly bad for consumers, because that's typically going to be passed straight on to them in the form of higher prices in one way or another. But there are all sorts of problems there trying to gauge where revenues are made, and that's particularly difficult in the online world. So I think it's that's a game that's simply not worth playing. I think it's far better to think about fundamental reforms of corporation tax, involving a reduction in corporation tax and taxing companies in a rather different way.
And let's not forget the tax burdens that are, what, 50-year high and one of the most complex in the Western world.
Exactly. You know, I think anything that adds new taxes is heading exactly in the wrong direction. I think you should be looking to simplify the tax system as far as possible. This is one thing that makes me nervous, by the way, about the proposals that are essentially being led by the OECD, but have already been enthusiastically embraced by both by the Conservatives and particularly by Labour, which is to try and apportion the profits that companies make into different countries based on things like the number of people they employ there and the assets and the sales that they make. On paper, that sort of makes sense, but I think it's going to be extremely difficult to do it in practice. You know, trying to apportion revenues and profits in this way is extremely difficult. And I think it will just create new ways for companies to game the system. I think it's just an additional complication that we could do without.
Mm. Now, to end, Julian, I wonder if I can make you sort of put your acting hat on or Chancellor of the Exchequer for the day. What do you do about this? I mean, do you get rid of corporation tax altogether? Do you just lower it? What would be your ideal?
Okay, well, in an ideal world, I would actually get rid of corporation tax altogether. I know that that's controversial, but to be clear, I would replace it with a tax on profits when they're actually distributed to the owners of the company in the form of dividends. So the people that own the company would still pay taxes on the profits, but you wouldn't get that big disincentive to investment that you have at the moment. I think that'll be a lot simpler system. Realistically, though, I can see that's going to be very difficult to get done. So my alternative would be to focus on what I think is the biggest single problem in the corporation tax system at the moment, which is the way that it penalises investment. And I think there's a good case for, you know, significantly increasing the capital allowances, maybe saying that you can invest as much as you like, and that will be knocked off your tax bill. That may well mean that in the short run, the effect is the same as my original proposal, getting rid of corporation tax completely, because those companies that invest a lot of money won't then be repaying any tax. That might be a proposal that's easier to sell. But the essential
definitely point, politically.
Exactly. But the essential point is to recognise that, you know, the companies are a good thing. Businesses are a good thing. They employ people, they provide goods and services that customers want, and they also invest. They're often at the cutting edge of productivity. And anything that lightens the burden on them, particularly when it comes to investment, is actually going to help all of us. It isn't just a question of you know, helping the rich and at the cost of the poor. You know, a thriving entrepreneurial economy with, you know, good businesses doing good things is exactly what we need to fund everything else we want to do, including the public services on which we all rely.
Absolutely. That was a beautiful way to end the podcast. Thank you very much, Julian.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Now, I'm sure you'll all agree at home that Julian has eloquently and beautifully set out why he believes that it's the right thing to lower, if not scrap, corporation tax altogether. But let us know what you think by tweeting at IEA London. And you can also find Julian Jessop on Twitter if you give that a search.
My Twitter handle is Julian H. Jessop.
Excellent. You can find him there. And you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is that you get your podcast.